Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, who have you been channeling lately? Aren't you a channeler? Well, maybe some of you are. Maybe we all are in many ways that we don't realize. And some of us are more very present and conscious of it. And so I want to get into that in the show today with our wonderful guest who does amazing channeling and has incredible wisdom herself, Angie Hippel. Angie, welcome to Energy Stew. I'm so happy that you could be here.
Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm here with my sweetheart, Chuck. He's my wingman today and always.
Well, I see. You're so great that you have a partner. And so you didn't start out as a knowing channeler. Started out in a very protected environment, right?
Yes, my whole experience, almost all of my experience, was in a fundamentalist Christian home. My father was a Baptist minister of the Jerry Falwell variety. As I became an adult and got married, I tried on other facets of Christianity, mystics, Madame Guyon, and some of that more charismatic, prophetic Edgar Cayce world of Christianity. But I was pretty much a diehard fundamentalist Christian and raised my kids as such. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I started having a really radical awakening. I went through a series of unfortunate but really, truly fortunate events. My marriage came apart, 27 years, my father died, a lot of kind of chaos in my external environment and in my family and so on. But it was a beautiful gift because I started this awakening process and I was really being called forward and out of religion and out of a lot of my limited perspectives and belief systems. And so it's been a really amazing, kind of awe-inspiring, also very intense few years of growing, getting my ego crushed on a regular basis. And towards a couple of years ago, in the midst of this real intense surrendering, learning, growing, questioning, self-inquiry, lots of meditation, I had an angelic group come and visit me.
How did you know that they did?
You want to tell that part, sweetie?
No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
So we, Chuck and I, were sitting on the couch one night and we were watching a beautiful channeler. He had introduced me. Chuck is my second partner in life, my first and only spiritual partner. We've been together a few years now. He came to me in the aftermath of all the insanity I was going through. And he first introduced me to channelers. You know, when we were dating, we would watch like Daryl Anka and Bashar and different channelers. And first, you know, I thought it was kind of crazy. And then I would listen to the message and I would think, wow, that message is really transformative for me. That really speaks to me, that really does something inside of me to set me free. So I became more open to channeling. And we made some fun trips with Kryon and Abraham Hicks. And we were just like so many of the people in your audience, probably big consumers of this spiritual adventure. And so one night we were sitting on the couch watching a beautiful channeler. And Chuck looked at me and he said, "You could do that." And I was just open enough at that point not to say no to any possibilities. And that night, actually, I began to have a huge visitation with a lot of really wild phenomenon. And I got my first message, typed it up when I got up in the morning, shared it with Chuck that night. And we've been channeling together in the evenings on our sofa with a recorder for a couple of years now. Almost every night we receive a visit from someone. The primary group that we channel as a group called Judah. They're a collective of about 350,000 angels. They work under the auspices of Archangel Michael, and they are kind of like the Oprah of the party. They're the hosts. They're the ones that vet all the other different beings that come to this party and introduce us to lots of different beings. They're the gatekeepers, and we just have a wonderful time. It's been profound.
I've been listening to some of your videos, and they're so profound and positive. And you do such a great job with it. I'm, you know, just not, it's not about just them channeling through. You are, you know, an ideal candidate for them to work with. And it's, you know, so it's great to see not only them, but to see your relationship with them as well.
Absolutely.
One of the things I think you kind of skipped on that was kind of important is when all this started is she came to acupuncture for some physical symptoms. And once we got those straightened out and I said she didn't need to come anymore, she said, oh, but I want to come. I want to come. Is there not something else I can do? And I said, well, there's this thing called spiritual acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And we started doing spiritual acupuncture, and she had an amazing a spiritual experience with one of the treatments.
Well, wait a second. I've never heard of spiritual acupuncture. I've had plenty of acupuncture in my life, but what's the difference?
Well, the truth is a good acupuncturist finds what level the out of balance is on, energetic out of balance. It's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. And most of the people, it is spiritual. But the type treatments I do are different, because what happens is the Palladians are the ones who have given me lots of information about acupuncture. They've taught me how to do certain treatments to heal things that I don't know other people can do, and we're not taught in school. So what happens is I'll go in with a patient, and I'll ask them if there's anything in particular they want to work on. Now, the truth is there's two things are the most commonly asked for: opening up their heart or getting rid of fear. These tend to be the two most things. So those, you know, chakra related things, that's one of the things. But they'll tell me, and then I'll go and sit for a couple of minutes in meditation, and then I will get the answer. It will come to me, and then I'll go in and do that treatment. The thing about it is that I kind of get downloads too. It's a download, and I'm very intuitive. So that's how I get this information. Now, there is somebody who does teach this type of spiritual acupuncture, Mickey Shima, and he has many, many books on this. And I did take a class with him probably about 25 years ago, and I used a lot of his stuff in the beginning, and I still do. But once I started being connected with the Palladians, I usually let them lead me as what to do with the patient.
Yes. I love that. That's you know, it's getting your ego out of the way.
Yeah. So, you know, applying that to channeling, you know, your initial question to your audience, have you been channeling lately? You know, we each have, I find the more I do this work that everybody has a certain modality that is probably of use to the unseen world for channeling. You know, for Chuck, it's acupuncture. It's an easy modality for them to drop in intuitive information or information from angels and higher beings, and the needles become then the catalyst for the opening up of the heart, the body, the mind, the spirit to visitation.
And this has so much to do with intention.
Absolutely. So, you know, the spiritual acupuncture is his intention then, as he's channeling information of what's of service to that person. And then his intention, you know, as Chuck always says, it doesn't really matter what points he uses. It's the intention and the power of his intention.
Right.
And, early on, you know, in my spiritual awakening process, what Chuck is pointing to is the role of that his spiritual acupuncture played in it. He would intuitively channel what points to use and for what purpose. And I could have really ecstatic states, experience very ecstatic states of bliss through the acupuncture. So there was something happening through the process that was opening me up, you know, and preparing me for what was to come.
I had an experience one time. One of my former students is an acupuncturist, and she, during the session, she does healing as well. And when I was done with the session with her, she said, "You should come up with some new idea for healing." And we walked 10 feet to her door. And within that 10 feet, I was downloaded with a whole new healing system from somewhere in the universe. And I've been using it with many people now for many years, and it's wonderful. So acupuncture is great, especially with special people. You said there were other modalities of opening up channeling.
Sure. Well, you know, with my experience, it was that big, booming, direct voice channeling that can be so magical and kind of engaging for people because it's so smells so much of the other world, you know. But I know that people are channeling through in business, with business decisions, teaching children.
Let's just say that is that not just called intuition, and can come from your soul instead of channeling beings from somewhere else.
Absolutely. Well, the way Judah described this to me, because I get a lot of questions about this when I work with people. They'll say, "Well, is this my higher self? Is it just my mind? Is it angels? Is it interstellar beings? Is it the Holy Spirit? What's going on here?" So Judah gave this metaphor. If you think about baking a cake, you have eggs, you have sugar, you have milk, you have flour, you have these different ingredients. And they're separate entities or processes, right? But when you break them all apart, I'm sorry, you're really distracting me, sweetie.
Sorry.
Okay, I need you to be still. Sorry. Let me start that.
That's part. Perfect. Everything is perfect, right?
Yeah, let me start that part over, Peter. So Judah gave an illustration to kind of explain this process when people are trying to discern where is the information coming from. So in the realm of spiritual information, we have different sources. We have ascended masters, we have Akashic records, we have angels, interstellar beings, we have our higher self, and then collective consciousness. So you can think of each of these as being like ingredients that will go into a cake, right? Eggs, sugar, milk, flour, and so on. But when you mix all of those things together and you combine them thoroughly and refine them and sift them into one, they become one cake. And then you can't separate those things back out anymore. It's just one cake. So as we're entering into the realm of spirit, it really doesn't matter what entity or source that's coming from. It's all one thing. And so there's a real overlay in my experience anyway. So sometimes I may feel something as more of an outside voice from an entity outside of my body. Sometimes they're more merged with my body and making use of my own voice. And sometimes I think they're very much merged or aligned with my higher self. And it's very hard to separate out the differences. Right. So I don't get too much caught up on all of that. I just know if this is the cake, and it tastes great, if it feels of high consciousness to me, if it's a benefit, if it's of a higher vibration, that's good enough for me. I don't need to split hairs over the source.
Right. I'm totally with you on that, because I've been working not as a conscious channeler, but I am highly intuitive, and I'm very telepathic. So I receive information, and I'm not worried about where it comes from as long as it has that high vibe to it. And I know it does good for everybody.
Exactly.
And so it's amazing, though, all the different vibes that come through you from Pleiadians and the Judah group speaks through you often, just directly, and then they invite you to speak with other beings who want to talk through you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I just need to correct myself. I misspoke a minute ago. I gave them a different acupuncturist name. The main one who taught me was Miko Sankey. Miko Sankey.
How do you spell that?
S-A-N-K-E-Y.
Okay. Sankey. That's great. And no, but the whole purpose of whatever, spiritual acupuncture or anything else, as we said, was how you hold it and the sanctity and watching you, Angie, and how you engage people with your presence. Doesn't matter who's coming through. You have a wonderful presence that gives people confidence to open up and to be present with you. And I think that's so important because you have so many messages. It goes on and on and on how much you teach, and the people who are watching or listening to you are so ready because you are such a loving, caring, authentic person.
Well, I think, it's an honor, all the folks that come our way. And we just remember that, we're here in service to the Most High, whatever that looks like. And this is, where we wish for and hope to fall over into a state of enlightenment in which we're no longer need to serve the self in any way. And we're simply in loving service to others. And so when they come, all the pain of my own journey and the struggles and wars within my own ego and all that that's entailed can then be of service to help someone else. And it's of service because we remember how hard it is, right, to let go of things, how hard it is to rectify the pain of the ego and the suffering that it causes. And so we want to remember those things and be of service by being authentic, by being real, by sharing. One of the reasons we like to share the videos of Chuck and I together in the evening is because those are our really intimate conversations about the brass tacks where the rubber meets the road of the difficulties of our life and how we sort that out and live as spiritual people with imperfections and difficulties. And so we want to have a level of vulnerability there so that people don't feel alone, because that's a lot of what I see in this work is the loneliness that people feel as they begin to expand in consciousness. And there are fewer and fewer people around them that are committed to a life of high consciousness. And they feel more and more like an outsider because of the culture and the toxicity of it. And so it can be a really lonely walk. And our desire would be that they could be in our physical presence and we could give them a big hug and be there for them when they need to cry or they're going through a divorce or, whatever's going on for them. But the reality of it is there are so many out there that we have to make use of this technology in the best way possible. And that's one of my prayers always with Judah is one of the first things I ask for when I'm working with people is that Judah would come into the room with them and fill the room up with their presence so they can feel a hug, a touch, something tangible, feel that they're not alone, and that there are angels there supporting them, because I can't physically be in all of those places for them.
Well, there are 350,000 of them, so they can get around.
Yeah, and I do get reports from people that have visits and they have tangible expressions from these visits and miracles. And so I know that their prayers are being answered and heard, and I'm very grateful for that.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy that we could talk about the importance of working with spirit and working with these spiritual people, I don't know, people, beings, let's call them beings. We don't know what form they take. They don't have to be human looking. They just have to be loving presences and brilliant at the same time. And so, so much of our work for you and for me and so many people who are able to receive from the other side or wherever that it is, inside or outside, it's coming from somewhere other than our normal minds. And we know the difference too. And you go into a trance channel also, which is something I haven't done. I just listen and then say what I'm being told. Mm-hmm. And
going back to your first question of the day, Peter, about asking your audience, have you channeled? One of the coolest things that's happening right now is, you know, for early on, I realized, you know, I don't want to be the person with the stuff. I want everybody to have the stuff. I want everybody to have the experience, right? And so, I mean, when I grew up in religion, there was always somebody behind the pulpit that had the stuff, you know, and they were sharing with all the people in the seats down below that didn't have the stuff. And so it was the us and them, the haves and the have-nots, you know, and all of that. And so I did not want that in this work. I didn't want to be the have and everybody that was coming to me being the have-nots asking for answers to their questions. So I've really been kind of pushing the envelope in the last 6 months or so on making sure that the people that come to us go away as the haves, right? And so Judah's really been honoring that. Lately, I would say probably 50% or more of the people that come for sessions channel for the very first time ever in the session with me before we hang up. They get to meet their angels and guides. They find out their names and they channel a first message or conversation from those angels or spirit guides. Because this is really important. You know, one of the things Judah said recently in a channel with me is that their purpose now in this season of channeling through me is to eventually make channeling obsolete, or the need for a channeler to be obsolete, because everyone is going to be receiving, connected, uniquely connected to source energy and receiving messages of high consciousness and be awakened and living life from their higher self. So that's my job, is to work myself out of a job.
But what is the key? I understand this. Well, yes, you know, obviously you're doing this for the good of all. But what is it? What is a key for people to awaken to receiving these messages for themselves?
Well, I can tell you how Judah helps me to get the people there. So usually within the first few moments of talking with them and hearing a little bit of their story, I can determine their level of consciousness. And I use the Hawkins scale for that. And generally, you know, I receive that as information. This person is a 100, a 50, a 300. And I work with everyone, Peter, from sex workers to psychologists and medical doctors and spiritual teachers and spiritual healers. So I have the gamut of, you know, 50 to 700 on that scale that I'm working with. So Judah gives me that information along their level of consciousness, but I don't tell it to them. I let them look at the map and I let them find their own level of consciousness.
Then what rises, how does the consciousness rise to be able to then channel?
Well, I actually do it through energy work. So let's say that they say to me, well, I think I'm a 200. And Judah will either confirm or adjust that a little. And usually they're spot on, right? Usually they can look at the map and nail it within a few 50 points or so. And so then once we know where they are, I know that, let's say that 200 is a solar plexus area. I will begin to feel it in my body. I might feel a fire in my solar plexus or not in my solar plexus. I basically am able to physically feel in my physical body where they're stuck, where the level of consciousness has ceased to rise in their physical form. And so I just begin right there. I just ask them to kind of drop into a meditative kind of daydream, like alpha state. And I just ask them to feel the energy. I tell them where I feel it. I say, you should feel it there. And within a few seconds, they'll say, yes. And then we just begin just energetically moving the energy up. And basically what some people might call a Kundalini awakening type of experience. And so I ask at the beginning of the session, I asked Judah to please give them as much freedom and as much life force energy as they can safely bring in and sustain going forward. So I'm not wanting them to have some kind of, you know, amazing experience that they can't, you know, continue after our time.
Yeah, they can't replicate it. You want something they can carry.
Yeah, I want it to be sustainable. Right. And so as we go through this process, I'm kind of talking and teaching them as we go so that they can replicate it themselves again later when they're alone. So, you know, a lot of times it's kind of difficult to describe, but they might be coughing or kind of dry heaving, or they might enter a state of bliss. Sometimes their face, their countenance really changes. They look lighter. They look brighter. Even
so satisfying for you too to see that.
Oh,
it's awesome. Yeah. Well, we're getting to the end of the show, and Angie Hippel, I'm so grateful that I could talk with you. And I do want to talk with you more because I'd also love to hear from the Judah channel, the Judah group. But people can reach you through the Judah, J-U-D-A-H channel at gmail.com or go to your website, thejudahchannel.com.
Yes.
Great. Yeah,
thank you.
I'm so happy. And I hope that we can do a show again soon with some of these messengers coming through and talking to us too, because it's wonderful to see the transformation in you and the difference in language in you as they start speaking, that you actually embody their language as well.
Mm.
Very cool. So Angie, thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. I love talking with you.
Having us. Thank you so much. It's a joy to meet you.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.